Hollywood Casino St. Louis is the place to party before and after every concert this year. Whether you want to chill on the 99 Hops House patio enjoying a great selection of brews, or if you want to try your luck on the casino floor. They also offer VIP packages, hotel, free slot play, food credits, and transportation to and from the concert with your own VIP entrance. Enjoy the show. Must be 21. Gambling problem? In Missouri, call 1-888-BETS-OFF or visit 888-BETS-OFF.org.
Oh, this didn't work out.
What is it?
This is supposed to be Eric Clapton, Layla, but apparently
it's a live version.
Yeah. Damn YouTube. You can just might just start your thing. Okay. This is going to take
forever.
Actually,
pretty good. Starting off.
Remember Jocelyn Elders? Remember who she was? She was the, I believe the Surgeon General or something at one time, and. It was a press conference or something where she tried to sound real cool and hip, and she's talking to younger people, and it was obvious that she didn't know what she was talking about. So to kind of compensate for that, she came back and said something about, and I'm not kidding, she said, you know, I know some of the artists that, you know, like Eric Clapton. I love Eric Clapton.
Oh, no.
Made it even worse. Oh, it was great. Made it even worse. Eric Clapton. Yeah. Let me explain to you why last night I stepped outside, and today.
You had
weather,
gas?
No, we don't get weather like this. We get like 10 days a year like this. Humidity's low. Temperature low to mid-70. Perfect. So I went outside last night and sat in my driveway. I sat in the driveway in a cheap chair because I don't have a backyard, and I don't. I have a deck that we never get on because there's no furniture on it. And one of the reasons we don't go even out on the deck is I have a set of French doors that have not been opened for 4 years. We can't open them. They are...
Really?
They're shut for a reason. And they need to be replaced. So Window World came out and measured, and they're in the process of, I guess, building doors to put there so we can finally walk out and sit on the deck and put a couple of chairs out there. And I know that when they do it, it'll be done perfectly, because I had a couple other people come out a long time ago, and they said, we can't touch these doors. They're something different and unusual, and when the house was built, they were blah, 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 blah. Window World came out and said, yeah, but it's going to take a little while. We're going to have to get this and this and this, and we're going to send this person out, but they'll do it. And then I will finally, again, be able to walk out on the deck and sit outside. And by the time it gets done, we may be back in miserable weather. But the point is, they do entry doors. They do siding. And, of course, you know what they're famous for. And that's replacement windows. I don't know anything about windows. I don't know how to put them in, how to take them out. I know that when you see a foggy-looking thing, it means the seal broke and, air got in there. They're not in the seal business. They're in the full window replacement business. And they're not just in the business. It's safe to say they're the best in the business with the best product, or they wouldn't be the number one selling replacement window in the country. And they are, by a long shot. So, here's the thing. This is one of those things that you may do once in your lifetime. You may never do it. There are people that will never buy replacement windows because they live in a brand new house, and then they sell it 3 years later, get another brand new house. Somebody else down the line will have to do the windows. But most of you, at some point, will have to replace windows. When you do, in your AM and the PM... Now, see, that noise did not come from here. That was a sign from above, like a heavenly sign, indicating that what I'm telling you is true and is something you need to hear. When the time comes in your AM and the PM, you know who to call. You call Window World. Now, I want you to allow me to beg for a second. 1 week from this Friday night is our trivia night. It's going to be at the Ameristar Casino Hotel in a beautiful banquet room. All the food, all the drinks will be provided. There are tables, and each table has 10 people. They're pretty much sold out. But there are 8 of us at our show table. I'm sorry, six of us, but room for 10. Ah, that leaves four people or two couples. I will repeat again the two highest bids that I have to sit at our table. From one couple, Stephanie and her husband. Stephanie, if you're listening, thank you again so much. Have bid $2,000 to sit at our table. And as it stands, they're going to be at our table unless somebody tops that. You're more likely to want to top Gary's bid. Gary's bid is $1,500 for the other two seats at our table. Now, if somebody out there will offer $2,000, Gary steps aside and you and your guest will be at our table. I can almost guarantee you, and the only reason I say almost, I don't guarantee anything, but I'm pretty sure you're going to have a wonderful time. It's going to be fun. The money all goes to a terrific charity called Action for Autism. And you're going to meet some terrific people, like John Londoff and the people at his usually two tables. You'll be sitting with me and Tim and Limey and Dan and his girlfriend Sandy and my wife, and then there's the four of you who were the bidders that took the other four seats. So to Gary, and Gary, people listening don't know, but I know, you've stepped up before. You're a generous guy. Thank you for the $1,500. Don't take this the wrong way. I'd like to see somebody bump you with $2,000. Sorry. You know what I mean. So, folks, that's it. I need a couple of $1,000 to take those two seats that Gary has currently for $15. And if there happened to be somebody out there who wants to go bigger, you could displace Stephanie and her husband. I don't mean to be mean, but it's for charity. And when I go after something for charity, I go after everything I can get, because none of it goes to me, none of it goes to us, none of it goes to Win the World. It all, every dollar, goes to Action for Autism. Week from Friday, Maristar. Think about it. And I also still have the table of 10 that's an extra table next to our table. I have a couple of people right now working on getting four other couples to go in with them to give us $3,000 or $4,000 for that table. So that table's available. That's it for now. I will beg again tomorrow, maybe, probably Thursday, and then the home stretch next week. And thank you, Brian, and thank you to everybody who has already tossed $14,000-$15,000 at this for that evening. So I don't have any doubt that once again this show will outdo any other radio show that tried to help. And thanks to them for trying to beat us, but you never will. So thank you for making us look good. WindowWorldSt.Louis.com, by the way, if you want to know more about this great product. That's WindowWorldSt.Louis.com.
Let's all go to the lobby.
Well, we can't. The
Let's
lobby's
all
closed.
Go to the lobby.
There's no lobby.
Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
In a supermarket the other day, and they had movie theater popcorn. Those giant bags of movie theater. It says movie theater popcorn. I thought, well, that's as close as I guess you can come to actually feeling like you're in a movie theater. But here's a guy who will make you realize that even though you can't go to the theater, you can still watch some pretty good stuff on TV. Ladies and gentlemen, courtesy of Window World, I might add, WindowWorldSt.Louis.com, Dan Buffa.
Good afternoon.
Hello, Dan.
Hello, Frank. Limey. Tim.
Dan.
Unless somebody else here in the room before we take calls has something, I don't think I've discovered anything new. I'm on kind of the same stuff, Yellowstone. I finished the Sinatra thing, so I'm ready to kind of start over and jump into something else. Delimey, have you found anything?
The TV shows that I've been watching recently, you are not going to like. Like, the second season of Umbrella Academy has just come out on Netflix.
Don't even know what that is.
Exactly. There's another TV show out there. It's called Norsemen. It's on Netflix. It's absolutely hilarious. You would hate it.
Okay.
It's kind of the writing style of The Office, but it's set in Viking times. I mean, yeah, the TV shows you and I end.
Now, Limey, there is something good coming out on September 4th. It's The Boys, season 2.
More superhero stuff.
I know, but this is something I said it last year when I reviewed it. This is kind of makes fun of superheroes. It makes superheroes the bad guys. They are, you know, they're basically brands that are corrupt businesses, right. You know. The person who's supposed to be Superman is called Homelander. He's played by Anthony Starr, who played Lucas Hood on Banshee. So you get to see Lucas Hood in a different light here. He plays kind of like...
Basically, like, in this TV show, imagine if there was a giant corporation that had figured out a way to make super people. That they had figured out a way to give people, like, laser vision or the ability to fly. And when they figured this out, they started cashing in on it. So they started, you know, all the merchandise, setting up situations where they know there's going to be crime and they throw in a hero and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm out. Yeah.
I know you're out,
very corporate.
It's really good.
And it also gives, you know, Carl Urban, who's a guy that you probably see but you don't know, he plays the new, I think, Scotty in the new Star Trek films, but he's really good. So the Boys, the concept is that the Boys, the title of the show, is a group of regular humans who try to take down the superheroes who are corrupt. And it's very funny. It's very kind of like not just frat boy humor. It's just funny because they make fun of superheroes. They make fun of who they are, what they stand for. Now, I will say this, Frank. One of the best parts.
Sorry,
both. You still alive?
COVID.
I am sorry.
COVID.
I'm sorry. I think I sneezed out my brain.
COVID alert.
He sneezed, part of his the nose came off. But no, one of the scenes that really plays with it is in the first season. The two superheroes are on a plane. It's going down. Bunch of people on board.
But if you're a superhero, I don't think that would bother you.
I know, but here's the they figure out that they can't save all the people.
So you save the hot women.
And so the superhero, the Homelander, says, you know, we have to go. He tells the girl who's also a hero, a superhuman, with him, and they just...
To give him some context, because you've seen the movie, the old Christopher Reeves movie, where he saves the plane, like he catches it and he lands it safely.
Right.
They play on that in this scene. He says, you know, what do you want me to do? If I try to pick up the plane, like, my hand's just going to go straight through. It's weak metal.
It's weak.
There's no way that I can save these people. And you have all these people looking at him like, oh, my God, thank God they're here. We're going to save them. But, and he just goes, I'm just going to duck out the back door here.
Can you imagine, though, if you're on that plane, here comes Homelander. Oh, he's going to save us. I'm not only going to live, I'm going to have a story to tell.
Right.
And then they fly off. And you just go blasting into the ocean.
Apparently, Limey has really gotten to know me pretty well. Nothing about that.
Nothing.
Yeah, so
I know. Unfortunately, like, I'm trying to think of TV shows recently that I've watched that you would probably like. And the only thing
audience. Oh, the audience would like.
But the only thing that I can think of is the Epstein thing. And I could only make it through one episode because that
I watched
was
the whole thing.
Sick.
See, I don't understand why you couldn't watch all of that.
Just hearing their stories
but I always want to know the depth of perversion of these people.
And see,
I get you.
And that's why I liked Fear City, because you got to see how powerful these guys were. I mean, they ran New York until, Rico, now you're done.
I didn't give the numbers. For those of you who want to jump in and share something with us you discovered on Amazon, Netflix, HBO, Network, whatever, 314-821-0590. 855-282-8255. I do want to real quickly say, Ryan Reynolds, who is it he's married to? Who's the girl?
Blake Lively.
Yeah. I'm done with them. With them, and I'll tell
you
why.
What are they done now?
Well, I read an article this morning. They have apologized and fallen all over themselves and made massive contributions to the NAACP because they realize now that their, I think, wedding was held on an old southern plantation.
Oh.
So... what?
Right.
It's a big old southern beautiful mansion. So what if a million years ago it was owned by... I am sick of that stuff.
Yeah.
So they feel like now they have to apologize for what? That would be like saying, well, I realize now we got married in Atlanta and Georgia was a Confederate state. I'm so sorry, everybody, that we went to Atlanta. What the heck is the difference? That's how stupid it is.
Some people, they do it because they really want to do the right thing.
There's no right thing to do.
But they also want the attention, though, and this will get you all kinds of good publicity.
There's no right thing to do. The truth is, much of this country in the South was part of the Confederacy.
Sure.
So if you're going to apologize for getting married in an old plantation, then everybody needs to apologize who was ever married in Mississippi, Kentucky, Tennessee, Texas. Go all the way through it and apologize for everything you ever did. If you lived in those
states, real.
It's stupid.
I know. Okay. But then again, 2020 is stupid. So
sorry. We'll talk to Vic. Vic, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. AM and the PM.
Thank you.
Okay, this is on Amazon Prime. It's okay. Starring Gillian Anderson. It's called The Fall. I believe it's from 2013.
The Fall?
The Fall. It's okay. Awesome. It's three seasons. It's kind of a psychological thriller-type show. It's about Gillian Anderson. She's a police officer from London, and she goes to Belfast, Northern Ireland. There's it's a family man who's actually a serial murderer, and
that's
she is
good.
Basically trying to solve this. But like I said, it's three seasons, like five episodes per season.
Oh, that's great.
Awesome.
I like the short.
That's
like
the best.
Yeah, the
best
five
thing,
episodes.
That's the, you know, so first you say Anderson, you talk about her, and that would, but five episodes a season, that's like Luther, you know, with Idris Elba, where it's just so, it almost feels like a long movie.
Yeah.
That's the way it should be.
All right, I'll look for
that. We're hooked.
The Fall on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
All right, Vic. Thank you.
All right.
So she,
care.
So she plays a lot of cops. She's the X-Files girl, right?
X-Files.
Just reading the IMDb on this, this is actually something I think I would like because it's about a female detective who's brought in to find a serial killer, but you also know who the serial killer is at all times. He's a husband leading a double life, and he's the one out doing the killing. So
okay.
It ain't a whodunit. It's a, this is him, is she going to get him? Kind of
I
kind of like knowing that beforehand.
Well, here, like Mr. Brooks, you knew he's a killer.
Well, and this is good because you get to see kind of like, this is a different example, but Heat, where you get to know the villain and, you know, the antagonist and the protagonist. You get to know both their lives very thoroughly. I like that when they show the detective hunting the person down, and then here's this guy that is doing all this stuff, but he seems quite normal.
Hey, since today is Billy Bob Thornton's birthday, and I didn't know
Billy
that,
Bob,
could we just sort of run through some of the many things this guy has done? And one of the ones I'll mention first that most people don't think of, they think of Sling Blade. And
sure.
Astronaut Farmer. Did you ever see this?
I did, yeah. Virginia Madsen plays
very
his wife.
Weird.
Yeah, it is, though, but he makes it work, though.
But, yes, because he's in it, it's worth watching. Wasn't it Andy Griffith?
Yeah,
in
it? My favorite one, probably by him, is Friday Night Lights, the movie.
Yes.
Well, I was just looking up to see what the name of that was. Because did you see that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I mean,
TV series.
Kyle Chandler plays a good, but I think for one movie, and you get Tim McGraw's in it playing the father of Garrett Hedlund's character. Mm-hmm. It's just a really good, Peter Berg did it, and he's just a great director, but... That's probably my favorite. Now, my favorite TV show is Goliath. I just love that show.
Yep.
And I hope they come back. I think they're going to come back with a fourth and final season.
And he played a really, really creepy gym teacher in Mr. Woodcock.
Yes.
It's a funny movie.
Sean William Scott.
I don't even know if I saw that.
Basically.
He's a creepy guy.
Everything he does.
Yeah, he starts dating one of his students' moms.
Okay.
And it's just funny.
Is Susan Sarandon the mom in that one, or is it somebody different?
He was also in the first season of Fargo.
But you have an easier time getting dates if your name is Woodcock.
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah, I think so.
It's just psychological.
How about Billy Bob Woodcock? That'd be a good thing.
It is Susan Sarandon. And Sean William Scott is her son.
It is really funny.
It is funny. Because, you know, the reason why Bad Santa is good is because he knows how to do that filthy. I mean, you know, he's the kind of main character that you don't like.
Is this a comedy, Mr. Woodcock?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Big
guy. I got to take my phone.
It's kind of in the Bad Santa kind of variety.
I have to make audio note. Mr. Woodcock, Billy Bob Thornton. There. No,
And he played Buttermaker in the remake of The Bad News Bears, which was all right. But the original Bad News Bears
Walter
was on
Matthau,
the other night.
Yeah,
where he's got a beer in one hand, and he's got the bat and the ball in the other hand. He goes, okay, let's get one. And so he doesn't have to set the beer down. He throws the ball up and then just hits it with
one. I like the original
Bad News. You can do that, though. The little fungo bat.
I like the original Bad News.
It is. Imagine if they were still alive, they could do one together as the worst coaching duo of all time.
Walter Matthau. Since he just passed away. Mm-hmm. Wilford Brimley.
Yeah.
One of my favorite,
the
absolute favorite actors who to me always seemed like, and I think Tim looked up and found that the guy never even set out. He never took an acting lesson in his life.
No.
He was just a natural sort of cowboy grandpa actor.
He's the kind of guy that when you visit the South, you don't live there, you probably meet about five Wilford Brimleys.
You bet.
Yeah.
His career was fine. But it got to the point where I think his commercial endorsements are what people will remember him best for. With the oatmeal and with oatmeal and with the
diabetes.
But
not to me, but yeah, to most people.
Kind of J.K. Simmons is going to be known not for his acting work, but for what's the
Was he in the one
insurance company?
In the word Lions is in the title.
Who?
Lions.
Thornton or Brimley?
Secondhand Lions?
Secondhand.
That's a great movie.
Okay, not Brimley, but Robert Duvall.
Yeah.
Okay. That is a great movie.
But also, you know, Wilford Brimley, probably one of his not his greatest roles, but he rocked the worst French accent in Hard Target with Jean-Claude Van Damme, where he played the farmer that helps out the hero, who's Jean-Claude Van Damme. He's just like, okay, I'll help you out now. I was like, that's not good, Wilford. No, don't do that. But he still made it good, though. He still made it good.
Now, he recorded an album. Did you know this? Did you know this?
It's
terrible. I checked it out the day he died, 2 days ago or whatever, so I thought I'd like to hear this. He did it with some trio. It is bad. It's really? Like when William Shatner tried to do it.
But like I think Russell Crowe.
And I think Shatner's was meant to be bad. He knew it was bad, but some of these people think it's good.
No.
Wilford Brimley should never have done an album.
That was that album because William Shatner was on it. The guy that plays Dr. Spock, and there were a few others on
but
there.
But it was meant to be bad.
Yes, it was all horrible.
No kidding. And I am not kidding when I say this. Looking at Billy Bob Thornton's lifetime, his parents, his dad, William, was a high school history teacher.
Really?
His mother, Virginia, made her living her entire lifetime as a psychic.
Really?
Wow.
So a history professor and a psychic.
I want one day Frank to convince management here to let him come on the air and maybe change his voice and say this is the new 590 The Fan psychic, because Frank thinks they're the biggest crackpots.
Oh,
and Frank
thinks
thinks he could be a psychic to somebody.
Really? No, Tim, you weren't with us at the old station. Right? Dan, did I not pull off the psychic thing well as any psychic has
ever.
I didn't know that.
No, I had people on the phone, women, crying because I nailed the death in their family, and they could not figure out how I did it, and they were sobbing on the phone.
Man. No,
it was really great.
And the whole thing was as big a scam as all the other psychics to prove that anybody could do that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And
also, a whole psychic segment.
Got to say, Billy Bob Thornton, big Cardinal fan, too.
Huge.
And he finds a way to sneak it into his work. And Goliath, he talks about, you know, what did Bob Gibson say was the most important thing about pitching? Strike one. And he talks about making the first thing. Because in that show, he's kind of an underdog lawyer. He's not supposed to win. But,
right.
And then I think he made a reference to one of the old Gas House Gang Cardinal teams in the second season. So, yeah, I think that's not in the script. He just says that kind of stuff.
I also believe that while I think what you see is what you get with Billy Bob, I think that if you hit him on the wrong day or say the wrong thing, he's the nastiest guy that ever lived. Did you ever see the videos on YouTube?
Yes.
Of him in the radio station being interviewed? And, buddy, he was not a nice guy to be around. Because he was there to promote
his music.
The Box Masters or whatever they're called.
Yeah.
And I think he probably made it clear, we're going to talk about my music. And the disc jockey, whoever's interviewing him, started in on his movies and stuff. And Billy Bob went nuts on this guy. And essentially nuts, not in a loud way, but made it very clear. I think he walked out.
He walked out.
Simply because the guy wanted to mention his movies.
But after all of that.
That sucks.
I don't like that. But that's the other Billy Bob.
After all of that, he was on with us. Remember? That was after that. And they said, you have to talk to the band first. We ended up talking to the guitar player.
And he was boring.
And he was okay, though. But,
yeah, he was but the truth is, here's the truth. You want to talk to Billy Bob.
Yeah.
That's you want to talk
and
to.
Billy Bob got on the phone, and we asked him a couple of questions about the band and about playing here at the Fox and everything else. And then
I took a giant risk.
Yes.
Because we were told.
Yeah.
No Sling Blade.
Uh-oh. No movies.
No car, no movies. It's all about the music. And I don't know how I got away with it, but Dan was right there and it worked. And I just said, Billy Bob, I may have said something like, you may hang up and you may want to just end this. And I know I've heard the Carl thing. You're sick of it. You don't like to do it. But here's what you need to know.
I do Carl as well as you do Carl, and that's not an exaggeration. And he said something like, well, let's hear it.
Yeah.
And I went into it. You got anything good to eat in there? And then he started it with me, and he said, Dan, did he not say,
yep,
that's as good as he has ever heard?
Yes, he did.
Without him doing it himself.
He did.
He not only didn't get mad, he was, boy, that was, I was ready for that to end.
And I think it was because we talked about the band extensively.
Yeah.
And then
we gave him what he wanted. Yeah.
When he got on the phone, we talked about the band and then kind of eased into that. And then Frank goes into that and he's like, because we even talked to some of the bandmates about doing Carl.
Right.
And they said some of them try to do it, but Billy Bob will never do it.
No.
Billy Bob doesn't do it.
And I think the key too was, and maybe it was the line that I used, maybe it was the line I did, you got anything good to eat in there? And once he heard that, it's almost like he couldn't not admit that it was pretty good. That was a proud day for me.
And when I got him, this was like August 6th or something, because I remember I said, happy birthday a couple of days ago. And he said, oh, thanks. I said, I know it was your birthday because it's my birthday too. Mm. So Billy Bob told me happy birthday over the phone.
Wow.
Oh, I know.
Big day.
Oh, yeah.
Big time.
We have Priscilla on the phone. Maybe Priscilla has a suggestion. Priscilla, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
I am well, gentlemen. I am in the PM, of course.
Thank you. What do you have?
And first, I want to say happy birthday to Dan. I'm very happy for him and for his mom's progress.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Here's something, whether you're political or not, and I just discovered this by accident, and my husband and I binged it. It's a Netflix series. I think it just launched, and it's on Donald Trump. But it starts when he's starting in real estate in Brooklyn.
I've seen it.
And it ends right before. I couldn't stop watching
it. Fascinating, yeah. I've seen it. Whether you like him or hate him, you can't stop watching.
What's fascinating about real estate?
No, well, it's him.
No,
that's who's
it just
fascinating.
Shows the way he thinks and how he, well, I don't want to get, anyway, it just shows the way he thinks.
Anyway.
It was really good.
And if it's the one I watched, it gives you really good insight into his dad and how his brother died, is now caught, and all that stuff. And no, that's a great. Do you remember the name of it, Priscilla? Because I don't.
I think it's just called Donald Trump, American Dream,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, or just Trump or something.
That's Netflix for
you. Wasn't his dad supposed to be a big jerk or something? Or
Well, depending on who you talk to. But here's the thing. Most really hard-driving, successful people, it's not hard to find people who consider them jerks.
Mm-hmm.
Because to get done what you need to get done, sometimes you have to call out the people who aren't doing it right and get rid of them.
Sad but true.
And those people will always go through life saying you're a jerk.
What this crystallized for me, he is a master of hype and promotion.
Oh!
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Saying. A master.
Absolutely. All right, Priscilla.
All right, guys. Have a great day. Thank you.
Bye-bye. You too. Yeah, she's right. I watched that thing a while back.
Well, that's just, I mean, everything's on there. Documentaries, new movies, old movies.
There is no, if you have a television and you have any sort of package of programming at all, you will never run out of things to watch.
No.
He's the only human being in the history of the planet Earth whose hair is better at 70 than it was at 30. You ever look at his picture when he's 30? Like he didn't have that perfect coif do. It was just kind of had a little bit of a mullet, you know, a little bit of a fluff. It looked awful.
Yeah,
it actually looks better now.
Home Alone 2, he had a little cameo. He looks weird when he's young now. See, now, all I know him now is how he looks right now. Really young, it's like, nah, that's your stunt double. Nah, that's not you. That's a de-aged Donald Trump.
Well, one thing about being really rich is, no matter what your hair looks like, you know, it really doesn't. I used to know a guy years ago at the lake. He had the first Scarab at Lake the Ozark. Scarab was a cigarette boat made popular on Miami Vice. Remember Miami Vice?
Yeah.
Don Johnson?
Sure.
Big long boat. Well, so this guy, George, I knew him, had the first one of those on the lake. And man, when he came down the water, Miami Vice. We're at a dock one day. I had a bit of a stomach. My buddy the rat had an even bigger stomach, and George had a big stomach. And we had our shirts off. We were standing on the dock, and this boatload of smoking hot chicks comes by, and the rat looked at us and said, "Hey, suck your stomachs in." And George said, no, you don't have to do that because we have this. And he pointed to the boat. He said, "We don't have to suck our stomachs." And sure enough, these chicks went nuts for that boat.
Oh,
they didn't even see our stomachs.
Who cares?
Yeah. So that's kind of the way I feel about his hair.
Yeah.
So
suck it in.
Now, Frank, you mentioned stuff in a theater. Well, there's a new movie coming out this Friday. It hasn't been online. It's not on demand. It is from David Ayer. Now, if you've seen End of Watch or Training Day, that's David Ayer. He is an L.A. crime, gangs, dirty cops. So this one's called The Tax Collector, and it comes out at Galleria 6, so you can go to a movie theater, put your mask on. They have safe protocols there. Go watch a movie. This is about, again, Shia LaBeouf is in this one. He plays the tax collector, and that is the local gangs that go around and collect. And if you don't have it, you know, well,
your legs get broken.
You're going to get chopped up, or hopefully your legs get broken. But there's a young Latino guy who becomes his partner, and he's got a family, and let's just say something goes wrong.
What's this called?
It's called The Tax Collector, and it is written, directed by David Ayer, who did put out not-so-good Suicide Squad, but again, Training Day, End of Watch.
Where do you see it?
It is going to come out in theaters. I'm sure it'll come out on, you know, demand online.
If there ever are theaters again.
Yeah, but there's still one. Gallery is holding strong. High Point is getting a new movie this Friday. The name doesn't recall me right now, but that's opening up this Friday. So you got the smaller theaters are opening up. The bigger ones, it's going to be a while because they have nothing really to show. Ronnie's can't open up because they have nothing to put in 20 theaters. So new movie people, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to get out to a theater that has not been online before, The Tax Collector. And I'm in there. Even though the plot kind of looks a little overrun, kind of we've seen it before, I like Shia LaBeouf kind of playing kind of a villainous character, kind of playing an antagonist. He's wearing a suit the whole movie. He's got the goatee and the hairdo. Mm-hmm. That guy is probably one of the most daring actors there is. And he just takes every role that he does is something different than the last. Like he was in Peanut Butter Falcon, where he played kind of not a perfect guy. He's made some mistakes, but now he's playing, a gangland, basically a lieutenant for the gangs. And he gets me in the door. It's not getting good reviews so far from the very few critics that have seen it, but David Ayer and Shia LaBeouf.
What do you give it? ARDs.
Well, I haven't watched it yet.
I thought you saw it. Okay.
So this is just news. I mean, you're wanting to see movies in a theater. This one comes out Friday. So I'm going to see it probably maybe Wednesday. So I'll have a review of that one. So this is like an announcement and a deep tease.
You want to talk to Brian?
Let's do it.
I talked to Brian, 314-821-0590. That's one of our numbers. The other one is 855-282-8255. Brian, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Thanks. AM and the PM.
What do you got?
So Billy Bob Thornton, one of the reasons why he was agitated in that interview you were talking about with the band stuff, at the time, he talked about that interview afterwards. He kept catching people going through his garbage. I think that's back when he was with Angelina. So people kept going through his garbage in California, like reporters were, and they were trying to get scoops on his divorce. So he kept catching people like at 3 a.m. going through his trash. So he was just agitated. So, I mean, it's funny to listen to him talk about that. And he had to take – so, Frank, he actually confronted one of those reporters with a gun. And the guy went running down his alleyway back – I think it was in Beverly Hills. But he was talking to – you ever hear of that show called Dinner for Five?
No.
Yeah, I don't know.
So his excuse for being mean to the radio guy was that he had been up at 3 o'clock running off garbage looters? Is that it?
For weeks and weeks and weeks at a time.
Yeah, but you know what? You don't bring that into this was a big day, I'm sure, for this radio guy. He's got Billy Bob in the studio. And to treat that guy like that, I just don't get it. I don't get that. I like Billy Bob, but I thought that was uncalled for.
There's another way to handle that. That guy's from Canada, the interviewer. And he's interviewed Rush and The Who and Rolling Stones, and he's never had any issues whatsoever during it. That guy's actually a pretty big deal in Canada, that interviewer. But I wanted to thank you guys for the Kingdom recommendation on Netflix about the anime.
Good stuff.
Frank, I don't know if you've seen that.
I have not.
It's a great show, isn't it?
But it's well done in that. Frank Grillo, the actor, he's amazing in that.
Yeah, he is great.
Help me out again. The Kingdom.
Okay, so Kingdom was a DirecTV show.
It's just Kingdom, not The Kingdom.
No, Kingdom. Kingdom. It came out in 2014. DirecTV didn't really market it. Nobody saw it. It was on iTunes last year. But this July 1st, Netflix acquired it the way they acquired Waco from Paramount. So
just tell me what it's about.
It's about Frank Grillo, who's kind of one of those guys you've seen. I've gotten to interview him 7 times. He's a great guy. kind of peaked late. He's kind of an older actor, but he is a retired MMA fighter running a gym in Venice Beach. He's got two sons, played by Nick Jonas, who is the musician.
Okay, I remember you talking about that.
And he's a fighter. Jonathan Tucker is kind of he's involved with drugs and crime, but he's a fighter too. So it's about this, I call it Sopranos in a gym, because it's just, it's so chaotic, and there's new people that come into the gym. Elvie, who Frank Grillo plays, he's kind of one of those older fighters that wants to fight still, so he's trying to train people to stay close to the octagon. But it's very real. It's very well written. And I had the lucky pleasure. This is one of those shows like Banshee. I got to interview most of the cast. They're all good people. And they really, Frank, when they cut weight for a fight, an actor, they really cut the weight. So Jonathan Tucker, who's been in so many things, his character had to cut weight down to 145, and the actor did that, because they wanted to be as true as they could to these fighters.
How many episodes or seasons?
There is, I think there's 40, because season two was split up into two parts. So it's kind of like it's three seasons, but the second season had 20 instead of 10.
Ryan, have you seen them all?
Not yet, but it's one of the most watched Netflix shows.
It is. It's really, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been on there for about a month. It's been on there for about a month, and I will say from the very first episode, because you meet Alvie, he's taking a jog in Venice Beach, and he beats up these two guys. So you can know right away the guy can't be messed with. But you can tell he's not a bad guy, but he's not really a good guy either.
If it gets me in the first two episodes, I'm good. I'm not taking three or four episodes to start liking something.
Yeah, and really, you know, Matt Loria plays a guy who just gets out of prison, comes back to the gym, but he's kind of like the guy that starts up a bunch of things, because he used to date Alvie's girlfriend. But Alvie thinks he's a great fighter, so that little triangle of trouble kind of starts to take shape. But it's really good. The fight scenes are good. There's a lot of violence and sex and fights, and it's very visceral, but it's very good.
I watch that.
Yeah, we're only in the middle of season two. So, man. It gets tiresome after a while, because the people keep doing stupid things.
They do.
Like, come on. Stop doing drugs, but the bottom line is it's a train wreck, but it's very realistic.
Yeah, and I will say, as you get into season two, some of the characters start to kind of clean up themselves up a little bit, but then other characters go down that dirt road. So right when you think, okay, can you just make the right decision, the character goes, no, I'm going to make the bad decision. But that's life. It's messy. You know, I like the fact that it's a fighting show that puts more of a spotlight on the fighters away from the ring as they are in the ring.
I have to talk into my recorder.
Hang on. Two shows to record now.
Kingdom, Netflix, correct? Netflix?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, got it.
There's a Kingdom, which is like an oriental zombie show. Which it's called The Kingdom. Mm-hmm. Don't watch that. That's horrible.
It was crap. Frank, I will send you the Netflix picture so you know which kingdom to click on. But it looks like three guys in a gym.
Oh, I'll know.
Isn't that Asian now? Didn't you say Kingdom?
Brian, did you say Oriental?
Yeah.
I meant Asian.
No, you need to apologize right now. No, you apologize to our audience. That has become politically incorrect, and how dare you? I missed that. Apologize now. Go ahead.
I'm very sorry.
I'm very sorry to my fellow Asians.
I'm very sorry to my fellow. The only thing is I'm not Asian, but I'm very sorry to my fellow Asians.
My Asian friends, you do it that way.
Apology
accepted on their behalf, and I will now speak for them, which means I accept your apology.
And
thank you so much.
Brian, you need to apologize to the rugs now.
The what?
The rugs, the oriental rugs.
No, that's okay. Still okay, because I still see signs in stores, or you just can't call the people.
Okay.
So that's okay. All right, Brian, thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
All right, bye-bye.
And of course, right as I mentioned, a movie coming out in theaters, Mulan, which was supposed to be a big Disney release in the spring, would now come to Disney Plus. You can watch a new movie at home.
Wasn't that an animated thing?
No, it's a live action.
Okay, but there was a Mulan.
Yeah, the original one came out in like 1999 or something.
Okay. I have no idea what that's about.
But this is a live action version. Supposed to be a big like tentpole release for Disney in the spring. Now it's going to come out to Disney Plus, which just cost people, I think, $5 a month.
Is it coming out the same time, or is it coming out earlier?
I want to say I think I saw September.
Oh wow!
But I think they're going to have to make that decision, because either you hold on to the movie or you just put it out there. Because right now, big theater chains like AMC, they're just not ready. Because you put Mulan in 20 different theaters, or five of them, and you try to make some money, but Only theaters like High Point and Galleria 6, which is very small, they can really control that kind of area. So
I can only think of one movie that was done as an animated movie
mm-hmm.
and done live action with real people, and I love both of them. And it's in no way something anybody would think I would like. Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I love both of them.
Okay. You like the live action version?
I'm actually shocked by that. I thought you were going to say Jungle Book or something like that, but right on.
Jungle Book was good. Was there a live action Jungle
there
Book?
Is.
John Favreau did it. Yeah. It was
Christopher
good.
Walken,
oh, wait. Okay. Yes. Jungle Book. I did like Jungle Book.
It was good.
I liked both of them.
But Beauty and the Beast.
Bill Murray was the voice of the bear. Right?
Yeah. Baloo the bear.
And then the live action Beauty and the Beast, was that Emma Watson
that
from
is
Harry
Emma
Potter?
Watson.
And
the
Dan Stevens
great.
Played, yeah.
It was very well done.
Angelina Jolie was in one called Maleficent.
Yeah, Maleficent. Two,
which the graphics were just incredible for. And then one that's not a kid's movie, but that was animated and human at the same time that I absolutely love this movie, was called Beowulf. You ever see that?
I know
the name.
It came out like 10 years ago, didn't it?
About an animated creature that destroys this town, and you know the
it's an ancient myth.
Yeah, it's like a mythical kind of thing.
Kind of like
Clash of the Titans, which I was a big fan of as well, especially the remake.
I remember the CGI in that was kind of a little bit different too.
The CGI in Beowulf, like it was made to look exactly. It was the CGI was exactly like Polar Express. So it was an animated movie. But it wasn't like Disney Pixar animated. It was like real life humans animated.
It was
a good movie.
The only thing about Polar Express, I'll never get Tom Hanks' eyes out of my
head. Those eyes are creepy.
Oh my gosh. Your eyes are creepy.
Hey, did you guys see, Dan, you probably did, Osmosis Jones?
Yeah.
Remember
movie.
That? Mm-hmm. I love that movie.
Watched it a couple weeks ago.
Weird movie.
Did you really? It's cartoon and it's live.
I like their name.
Bill Murray gets infected.
He gets a germ.
I will say that last night, gentlemen, I had the chance to show my little brother a classic that he hadn't watched. You know when you say a movie and you go, and you recite a line from a movie and the person you're talking to goes, what was that? And I go, you haven't seen True Romance? Yeah, we watched that last night.
I don't
know. Great movie.
What is that?
It's a Tony Scott film, but Quentin Tarantino wrote it. So it's both these guys. It's got Christian Slater, Patricia Arquette, Walken, Dennis Hopper, a great cast. It looks, it seems to be like a Quentin Tarantino film, but Tony Scott, who did Top Gun and a bunch of Denzel movies. But it's a great film. It's 93, and it's just, it's kind of like, it's a crime movie. It takes place in Detroit, moves to Los Angeles.
True Romance, I would have thought it was a chick flick.
Yeah. No, it's an action thriller.
Well, I talked to Christian Slater about that movie.
You did?
You know, he sounds a lot like Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
They sound very much alike. I said, Christian, True Romance. I said, I haven't seen that movie. Did you enjoy being a part of that project? Here's what he said.
Oh, heck yeah. I really enjoyed being a part of True Romance.
See, he sounds just like...
And hey, I got a chance to speak to Christopher Walken about that role.
What did he
you
say?
Did? What
he's
did
like,
you
Dennis Hopper, he's dead. But in that movie, he was so alive. It's like,
wow.
Well, come on. Right.
It's great. I know. Watch it. If you haven't watched it yet, that's a great, that's kind
I don't
of a,
think
a
I've
gem.
Seen it. I'll watch here. Hang on. I got to get my recorder.
That's three things now. So you got Mr. Woodcock, Kingdom, and now.
Yeah. True Romance, Christian Slater, Mr. Hey, Woodcock, man. And Kingdom.
Hey,
and
Chris,
in
I
recording.
Really liked working with you, man.
Yeah. Turn his mic off. You have 2 minutes to tell us about whatever you want to tell us about. You and I mentioned off the air, Yellowstone.
Did. It's folks, spinning its wheels.
I love Yellowstone. I love the cast, but come on, Yellowstone. Let's get back to kicking some
it's
butt.
It's just the biggest problem this season. There is no antagonist.
I know.
You've always had, you know, the ranch has always had an enemy, somebody to deal with. And this season, it's like, you know, the daughter and Rip are having a relationship. See, I want to see Rip Wheeler, who is Cole Hauser. Cole Hauser. I want to see him punch some people. He hasn't.
Or rip her clothes off, one or the other. Let's
just
go.
I want to see something happen. So it's a little, I'm with you. It's not bad because this show and the war, you can just look at the ranch and it's a good sight.
My wife says she'll watch it just for the scenery.
Yeah.
You know where it's shot? It's supposed to be in Montana or Wyoming.
It's
you know
not
where they
there.
Shoot it?
Where?
Right outside Salt Lake City.
Really?
Yeah.
And my wife said that they probably built that house. And I'm kind of want to believe her that they built that big house out there, or is it maybe...
I don't know.
You know, yeah.
But
see,
it's mostly
good.
Shot in Utah.
Mostly shot. You so. See, and Kevin Costner, what is he doing this season? He just walks around the house drinking coffee.
I know.
Okay,
I'm
go get him,
man. They need to get... maybe they lost some good writers or something.
Well, they're running out of time, too, friend. They got 3 episodes now to wrap this thing up. So yeah. Let's hope they can. But, you know, until next week, I will have a review of Tax Collector next week, which actually opens in a theater this Friday at Galleria. Okay. Until next time, I'm Dan Buffa. I've had enough of
it. All right. Well, that is such a clever way you end that. I'm Dan Buffa. I've had enough of. Oh, yeah, I thought of that. Okay. That is Dan Buffa, and he will be back next Tuesday. He's brought to you by Window World, our favorite window. Favorite of a lot of people because it's the number one selling replacement window in the country. And you can find out more at windowworldstlouis.com. Unlike.
Hey, St. Louis, where can you go for the best selection on your new appliance purchase? Yes, that's right. Appliance Discounters, and we're now featuring The Art of Appliances by AD for that creative palette. See The Art of Appliances with a variety of color options along with the full line of Bosch appliances at our newest location in Maplewood at the Deer Creek Shopping Center. At Appliance Discounters, there's no limit on design and color options, and we want to bring these choices to our customers. Shop any of our 6 locations or online at theappliancediscounters.com.